Welcome to the Love Positivism podcast. I'm Shireen Oberg, and I'm a yoga teacher and author devoted to the path of healing and heart-based living. And I want to help you to step into what you truly are and to your highest potential. On this podcast, I share with you tools and insights to help you move ever forward on your spiritual and healing path. With guests from all over the world, from different wisdom traditions, I wish to create a web of loving energy that permeates the whole world to create more love and peace. You can connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube for more guidance and love. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode that I'm co-creating with Mel. Welcome, Mel, and welcome everyone who's listening.
Thank you, Shireen. And I'm deeply honored to be on your podcast as well.
I'm so excited for this conversation. And for everyone who's here, Mel is a devotional author, sacred feminine women's advocate, podcaster, and priestess. And it is so beautiful that we're going to talk about the sacred feminine, Mother Mary, the Divine Mother, miracles, healing, everything today, because I think all of us need it. And she's just embracing all of us and such a beautiful comfort for all of us. And today I'm really excited that Mel is going to start by drawing a card from my Healing Oracle card deck so we can tune in together with a message for all of us today.
So I got these just last week, Shireen, and they are the most divine cards. I love them so much. Let's pick out a card. Oh, beautiful. I connect with the strength and wisdom of my ancestors. And we can see here that there's a beautiful mother here.
Oh my God. Mel, I want to tell you, this card came up twice now in 2 days. That's my grandmother, actually, who... Today, like 4 days ago, was a year that she passed. And for me, she represented so much. And she came up for another woman yesterday as well. And I feel her presence. That's really heartwarming because she was actually like a mother of all. I have to say, she had 12 children and she was mothering so many more people. And when I think about Mother Mary as well and her sorrows, my grandmother experienced those sorrows that she went through, actually, if you look at it step by step, like the prophecy, the losing of a child, like the exile, everything. She went through all of them. So to me, and she's here behind me as well. That card is my grandmother and the Kurdish sun, which represents this life force energy and the 21 days of our soul transmutation after we leave our body. This is the Kurdish tradition and the peacocks, which is connected to the angelic realm. So this card was so right. And it's actually the last card of the Healing Oracle card deck, because on that last level of healing, we can connect to all timelines and our whole lineage and all the way back to the first mother, the mother of all, that first conception of everything and everyone. So it's a very important card that we can focus on. It's definitely connecting us all to this lineage of priestesses, of the goddess, of everything. So thank you so much for drawing that. It means so much to me.
Oh, and that resonates with me so much as well, because my grandmother was actually the mum in my life. She was the woman who brought me up between the ages of 6 and 11. And I can really feel her presence here. And a part of the story that I wanted to share was actually about her today as well. So that's such a beautiful message. And I think for those who haven't yet had a strong connection with the Divine Mother, we can move into the mother lineages and the mother presences in our life to be able to connect with her as well, can't we?
Definitely. It's such a powerful source to draw upon. And it's been a source that we've always connected to traditionally before the patriarchal vision of spirituality and the hijacking of it. And it's even if you think about the sun, now we see it as a masculine energy, right? When I think about the indigenous people here in Sweden and the Nordics, the indigenous people, the Sami people, they saw the sun as the goddess. And when Christianity started blending in, they saw the sun as Mother Mary's mother, Hannah. So, or Anne. We forget that also this miraculous conception happened with Mother Mary as well, being conceived, and that long lineage. There's many books about this. I love Marguerite Rigoglioso's book about this parthenogenesis and the history of it and the birth priestesses and all of that. There's so much, but like you say, it's something that we have to come back to, and it's in all traditions. We just forget about it. And for me, like, now that I've dived deeper into the mysteries of Mother Mary, even now I'm reading a book by a Sufi teacher, Camille Helimsky, and she wrote about Mariam, the beloved of God, from different scriptures. And also in the Quran, there's a whole surah dedicated to Mother Mary. So it's like there's even more in there about her. And we have the Gnostic Gospels. Like, there's so much to connect with. So I definitely agree with that. And I would just love to, hear your journey into the path of Mother Mary and her miracles and what that means to you.
Yeah, for sure. So I can definitely resonate with what you're saying. And I think, do you also feel like women these days are also helping bring her forward and rewrite her story as well through the living pathway? Because that's really where my specialty lies, through the living pathway of Mary and her healing miracles, and just being a healer myself and helping other women who are tapping into her energies and who are experiencing her through their own gnosis, are creating a new story for her. And perhaps that is the story of truth that we are missing from the Bible, which is obviously the holy book that we were all given to turn to. My journey has really more been about the living life of Mary and how that's been brought forward in my life. So part of my work over the past 22 years has really been about tapping into the soul resonance of the Divine Mother and the unconditional miracles, love and support she can bring to us in our journey and our spiritual awakening. And as I said, the living path of devotion and ascension. So I'm really fascinated by the spiritual healing process and how miracles interweave with that. And I'm unfolding the answers to this within the books I've been working on and creating over the past few years, both which will be out later this year. So whereas some women might work in the areas of traditional Marian research, my specialty has really been as that priestess healer, counselor and guide, and really standing just at that threshold, allowing women who wouldn't normally have the experience of meeting with her or having access to the divine to be able to experience that through me. Actually, this wasn't the path that I chose for myself. The path that I had chosen for myself, or what was brought forward first for me, was actually working in publishing and magazines. And I started that at the young age of 15. I think that came from, I definitely had a passion in creativity. So in writing, I knew that I was a great reader. I knew that I was a great writer. And I loved going to the library. And I also loved buying women's magazines. So that was a natural pathway for me. But of course, we know that if we are meant to be a devotional worker, that spirit will lead us in other directions. And that's really what happened for me from a very young age. I'd been doing a lot of different healings and working one-on-one with women as a counselor as well. And I'd done that work for quite a long time. I actually noticed that the mother was actually giving me another message, which was to stop doing that work, which was really, really, really difficult because I loved helping other women, and to put my work into books, which makes sense now that I started in publishing, right? That's kind of the path that I've been on over the last couple of years. Also, I think just, you know, I wanted to mention that when we're called to change paths, and I know many women have been, it can be like really scary and really challenging as well. But I've realized that there's so much reward in listening to those whispers. And I'm just really starting to reap the reward this year. It takes time, right, Shireen?
It's like when we set the intention or when something happens in life that shifts our, you know, there's these pivotal points, these destiny points which happen, and it can be different things in life. And you've gone through motherhood and all of these things that is an initiation. Death can be initiating us as well, and dreams, like these things. And it becomes so clear what we're doing and what we have been doing and what we need to do. And I think that, so we have many similarities, because I was like you also on this path of always loved reading and writing. And like, that's a part of a yogic practice to, you know, jnana yoga is the yoga of knowledge, of like through your mind coming into enlightenment. It's a different, but then we have that devotional part that has been calling us. And devotional practice is actually the quickest way, because it comes from the heart. So maybe we built up so much up here, use these different chakras and everything. And then when you drop into your heart, you cannot stop listening to the heart. It's very loud and clear, and again, connected to that solar energy, actually. So it is the divine feminine, because in Chinese medicine, it connects down to the womb as well. So it is a difficult thing to move between these different contrasts, and also understanding that one thing doesn't have to exclude the other. I've found that in myself, like sometimes I just wanted to shift completely, but then the universe is telling me like, you have 2 feet in this world. That's why I created this purposeful communication program just recently, because I thought I have 12 years of experience in marketing. That's been part of my daily job and my reality. And I'm doing the law of positivism as well. Like, these have been merging together. It doesn't mean that they exclude each other. So like, how can I be in service in that way? If I've helped small and medium-sized businesses to grow, and like, how can I weave that into my work with my pillars, my spiritual practice, the pillars of law of positivism? There's so much. But like you said, it's sometimes like a birthing process. It can be painful to know. But and also always understanding we're not like on a straight path upward, or any, it's like a spiral. We go in a spiral and new things come, new initiations. And I feel like Mother Mary has been an initiation, because when I went through that, I mean, she came to me in a time of going into a descent. And this beautiful Sufi book, another book, The Secrets of Divine Love, and that whole path of personal relationship. It is not in perfection that we come to God or the Divine Mother or the divinity. It's in our neediness. That's a way of the divine to open up her arms even more to us. So we have not been forgotten or punished or anything like that. And in a recent study, so I do a lot of research, and I just finalized my bachelor degree in religious sciences as well. I actually got it today. And my focus was on women who go through infertility and how they cope through their spiritual and religious practices. And it's in that surrender and not having that divine union, like that divine relationship and the trust, belief in miracles, all of these things are a part of our reality unless we have like completely forgotten it, which many have. But it's such a, like, it's, I saw in my, not only in my research, but previous research, that women and couples who go through it and have that framework of coping feel better, feel more supported. Like, and that could be for so much. Like, that can be for so many different types of griefs. So when we open ourselves, it's not that we have to pray for it. It's like, open yourself and the support is there, that divine love will just emerge within you. So yeah, it's been an initiation. And have you worked with her different aspects of the, because it's, I think it's interesting that we have this light aspect and then the Black Madonna and that whole balance. Like, what has your experience been, your lived experience with that?
Yeah, so similar to you, actually. And I've also had some very deep initiations with the Black Madonna over the past 5 years as well. Actually, she could be my favorite because she just, oh, she shows up every time. And because I'm clairvoyant, I can see her, and her presence is just magical. It really is. The Black Madonna is not just an aspect of the Divine Mother that works with the darkness, but she also holds so much light because she's a master of both. And I feel like her initiations for me have not only been through the dark night of the soul, but actually she is not only fierce when she's protecting you and guiding you back to the heart, she is so loving and soft and gentle. So women can call her in at any point, particularly if they are going through something difficult or when they need a mother who's going to protect them. So I do know that we will feel her rising more over the next few years, as she has so much to reclaim in the physical world. And we know as well that quite a bit of the holy and religious art was changed to have more of a white presence. And so she's going to be coming back in full force to reclaim what was manipulated. So the Black Madonna is a mother of deep, deep truth and deep, deep reclamation. And I believe her voice will not be silenced over the next few years, but will be amplified. I don't think I really spoke about my initiation or, where did the spiritual path sort of begin for me. And I think that what you were saying about fertility, was something that came up for me today when I was thinking about, what are we going to talk about? I can track my sacred feminine journey right back to when I was in my mother's womb. And we know that our womb and our woman's body as a sacred temple of the divine often comes into challenges with traditional societal expectations and patriarchal conditioning. We know that that is where a lot of these fertility issues have begun. And so, my mother was very young when she fell pregnant with me. She was actually about the same age as Mother Mary as when she fell pregnant with Jesus. And actually, within an hour of her visiting the doctor to get confirmation of her pregnancy, the male doctor had already called my grandmother to tell her that he had taken it upon himself to book an abortion for her for the termination of my life. So taking control of her womb space without permission, right? So this is a clear example of how women can be subjected into situations where they feel powerless, particularly with the intimacy of our womb. So I was lucky that my grandmother wasn't having any of it. And my mom assured her that she wanted to keep me. So she supported her and allowed that to happen. So I feel like that is really an interesting story and one that I wanted to share because when little initiations like that happen, I feel like Mother Mary can help us on that spiritual awakening path, right? It was an initiation for my mother into becoming a mother, but it was also my first initiation, I believe, on the path of the priestess in the womb. So I just felt the power of that. And I asked my mum to share that story with me again last week while we were out shopping. We went out shopping and just had a girl's day. And it was really healing for her to share that story with me again. I guess just reaffirm at heart how brave that she would have had to be at that moment.
And that's this, your story is so beautiful. And it also shows how strong the mother lineage is, right? Because if we're created as eggs within our grandmother, there's a like direct connection. That's why I feel so connected with my grandmother and her mother. And it's, she had the same situation. There's so much that we can tie into both the, like these lived experiences I could talk in, also the mythologies and the stories. And it is so such an initiation just to be born with the womb and to hold that sacred space, and how, yeah, the initiation of just having that connection, or the realization, because for most of our lives we don't understand how sacred conception and birth is. Even we take it for granted, it's medicalized now like a scientific thing, but how can we take it for granted? Like, what would be there if it's not a sacred thing that happens? There's this cosmic womb, and that's what's interesting also in Islam, that the word that you usually, the words that you start a prayer is actually the root word, is the root of the word is womb. So it's so integrated into a lot. And that's why I also love like connecting to Mother Mary, because she has been called the Mother of God. Like, there's so many, she has been discussed so much within the church history. That's something that we got to study actually throughout my religious studies, although I wasn't like focusing on one tradition. Like, imagine how much that has been discussed besides like Jesus' nature and what it means with the Trinity and all that, but her title and her, but she was always there. So that's what I'm reading in this Sufi book. I mean, she was there always with him. And that also shows that if, or was it also in that other Sufi book? Like, do you think a mother, is there anything that would make a mother throw your baby into a fire? Like, would that ever happen? No, she would prevent it at all cost. And then why would the divine mother or God do that? Like, there's this unconditional love. So even if we don't feel it in our lives from others or from our mother, whatever, that divine source of love is all. When we stop longing for things that are always changing and shifting and that is outside of us, and we start only longing for that divine love, that is the only thing that is everlasting and eternal. Imagine how that shifts, and how, imagine what it does to our nervous system to feel like that, and that it's always available.
One of my spiritual practices is actually in the evening. So we turn out the light and we go to bed, my husband and I put on a meditation, and it's a Mother Mary meditation, and it goes for about 60 minutes. So I usually do fall asleep to it. But every time I listen to it, I like am almost brought to tears, because it immediately brings me back to my heart energy, and I immediately feel completely held in that moment. It doesn't matter what happened during the day. It doesn't matter if the day was stressful or if I didn't have time to do the things that I wanted to do. You know, as women, we put pressure on ourselves to get things done. It just means that at the end of the day, I can just surrender into her arms and go to sleep and just be held. And it's one of the most beautiful experiences that I have each day.
It's so beautiful. So what are you right now focusing on? How are you working with, because you do work with the Mother Mary lineage and angels and masters, like how are you working with others with what you're doing? And then I also want to hear more about the books that you're writing.
So for me at the moment, as I said, over the last couple of years, I moved from being face to face with clients. So I stopped doing that. I personally found that my energy and frequency changed during COVID, and I no longer had the capacity to hold space in the way that I wanted to hold space. They put me in a different frequency, basically, so that I could channel and write books. So I've been moving through those initiations, and they really haven't been very easy, I would say. So, you know, having to channel for long hours at a time and being initiated into different phases on the priestess path, and also being initiated with, you know, lots of different masters and angels and things like that. And then also all the different aspects of the mother as well. So for me, that's really what I've been doing, learning how to surrender into my truest divine service. And I guess shutting down and ignoring any challenge to that. So just staying true to it. And so I'm guided by her. She guides me. And basically my day really doesn't run without her. So they will dictate. So if we can think of it as, so in one of my books, I'm working with her as the mother of humanity. You know, I think she's really needed right now in that area. So it's not a surprise really that she came through to me, you know, probably, can't remember exactly when, but she came through to me, and she had told me about the war pre to the war. I think we were all getting that feeling too, right? And so she asked me to channel a book in that eminence of her as the mother of humanity. So as I said, we're all learning new ways to connect with her. And to me, what she's shown me as the mother of humanity is that she actually stands as the leader of light. So if we can think of that in an earthly presence, that would maybe be the CEO of a company or the prime minister, right? The front job she has in the heavens, right? So she stands forth and she speaks for us as our divine mother. I've really been learning about that presence and eminence of her and how her energy and frequency can help and in times of deep need, such as war, such as women and, you know, women's needs for basic needs for human rights. That's really her main role right now. So whilst I have all of these other beautiful eminences of her working with me, that is the main one that she's pushing forth right now. So I don't know. Do you feel that, Shireen? Like, have you felt that presence there?
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, when there's this huge imbalance, that's when I think that's why her time is here now.
We've all gone through this spiritual awakening, right? Even people over the last 5 years who never thought of walking the spiritual path are walking it now. We've all gone through that death and rebirth process. And what she's actually saying to me now is that now we need to ground it. Now we need to learn how to make that a physical presence in our life. And that's why she wants to come through as the mother of humanity, because she has to show us that practical role. She has to show us as women, what areas can we stand up in leadership? In what areas can we work? So perhaps you might have been a corporate woman, right, at the beginning of the COVID. And then after COVID, you've gone through your spiritual awakening and all you can think about is being a healer. So she is helping women to transition through that really important process right now. So that earth energy, and we know that that earth energy also is present in Mary Magdalene. And so they're working really, really hard right now to bring in that grounding for women, right? But also to be able to communicate between that threshold of heaven and earth, to be able to bring back our divinity and to be able to reclaim our power, right? And a part of that has been over the last couple of years, and I don't know whether you've had extra womb, lots of different womb initiations over the last couple of years, but I definitely have. And I know a lot of other women who definitely have. And so Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene also work together in that area, which we know is our lower chakras, right? So again, bringing through that earth energy. So there's not a lot of point, to be honest, if I have to be honest with you, in us having all of this beautiful spiritual frequency around us if we can't do anything practical with it here on earth, because light workers are deeply needed right now to either hold the space or to bring through new knowledge. And so that's really what we're being asked to do.
Yeah. And do you know what I love that you brought forth is that, so why we have reluctance to connect with the Divine Mother archetype is because it has been put in a box that this is how it manifests and it's about only nurturing. What you brought forward is so important, that it's about leadership, because we definitely know that motherhood is leadership. What is it not? Like, how could it not be leadership? It's not about leadership in a way that we patriarchal think about. It's like leading with the heart, because when you lead with the heart with children, that's how you help them to grow. So it's a leadership. And if we're not taking sacred leadership, then we are not fully embodying that archetype, I think. So I love that you brought that forward. It's so important. That's what came through for me. So not just seeing the mother as this like soft and something that we want to reject, because that's what's happening, right? First, it was a rejection from the spiritual side. Then it was the rejection from not wanting to lose our sovereignty. But the Divine Mother archetype is so much. It's fierce. It's strong. It bears so much. It's so powerful and it's creative. And so in that way, it combines all the divine qualities in one, I think.
Within this leadership, right, as they're clearing our womb spaces and reclaiming that, and women are reclaiming their divinity, we're going to find more women in positions of power, and things will start to shift and change. So it's really like it's so important, I think, like for the listeners to hear this as well, that if you are being called to tune into your womb and listen to what's going on a bit more down there now, and also clear trauma, it's really important that you, when you feel comfortable or with support, you start to act on that. Because I feel like the more women who are able to step forward and do that, the more we are going to just reclaim this lineage of the sacred feminine. So the womb is a big part of seeing women in leadership, and also and I'm not talking just about leadership roles, you know, within businesses and so forth. I'm really talking about this new way that we're going to be living and leading. So say you were in a corporate business, could there be a woman in that role who knows also how to connect with the divine, who also knows how to bring those spiritual aspects in? And this is really, it's not so heard of now, Shireen, but I feel like it's coming.
I'm actually right now looking into something called, it's actually something that has been coined for a couple of decades within leadership, like this servant leadership. You know, since if we embody that yin aspect, we are not forcing anything to happen. We're like inviting it in. And everything feels like we are moving toward that. I mean, if you look at the younger generations, they're not like accepting the same things as we did and even older generations. And it's a big shift of moving from that collective sleep and into something new. And that's a shift now. If you think about the Aquarian energy that is being pulled out now through Pluto, personal power, transformation, everything that has to do with our sovereignty and as a collective. So it's not only on an individual level, moving away from old paradigms, moving away from patriarchal structures, this old beliefs, moving into the future. This is all going to tie it in. We have all of this. And even if the Aquarian energy is airy, it's still the Aquarius symbolizes the waters of the womb. There's so much interconnected into that sign, moving towards the more unitive society of the divine feminine. So it's really interesting. I love that. And what is, can you tell me more about the book that's coming out as well?
I've got two books coming out. It's not really unusual for me to work on several things at once. So it was difficult for me just to focus on one book because I've always got channeled light coming through. And so they did say that there was these two aspects, right? So one aspect is what we've really just been talking about. The book that I've been birthing over the last couple of years is Dawn of the Rose. For so long, spiritual teachers have been talking about this dawn of the Aquarian age or this new age. But what I really wanted to cover in it, and what they really wanted to cover in the book, was how do we live in that age now that we are? To me, we've moved past it, right? So to me, we're in it now. And we're all needing help more than ever, especially women who haven't joined the spiritual path yet, but are feeling different things with their health or with their physical health and so forth. So I wanted the book Dawn of the Rose to be all about that, of how modern women can tap into their spirituality with all of these new energies and frequencies coming through. So there will be a deep focus on how we're going to be integrating that energy. And as we've just spoken about, grounding that energy, because there's a big difference, right, to be able to move into some of those creative frequencies. And so we can feel them, but it's like, what are we going to do with them? We want women to action that. So I really wanted that book to be about that. And as we know in the book writing process, it's an unfolding, it's a surrender. I'm deep in like the third edit, and I'm still getting new information coming through for that. So I popped that up on pre-order. I was comfortable to bring that forward now. I really wanted it to be birthed on September the 8th, which of course also coordinates with Mother Mary. If I can do that, then I will. But it just depends, because I'm also a mum too, you know, and balancing that as well. And then the second book, which I feel, we settled on a name for that. The name is, it's a bit more generic as the Great Mother, right? And so I'm waiting to see if she brings something else through. She has brought a few different names through over the last couple of weeks. So we're still really sorting that one out. But that book is all about the Mother of Humanity. It's about that eminence. So it's about the sacred feminine and the reclaiming of that. But just like in the other book, I wanted to get new information. So I haven't asked them for information that is from the years previously. I want information that's going to come in the next 10 years, you know? So I've been working hard to channel that through. And I think, as I said to you, I've had to learn a new way of working, right? Because I've really been deeply initiated into birthing through my womb space with the greatest integrity. And so my knowledge no longer really, although I do research, and as you know, I've got a couple of master's degrees, so I do love to bring in research as well. And I don't know whether you know this as well, Shireen, but when you're working with the realm of knowledge, the higher realms, you will still get the written research that is written in books as well, right? So it's a balance between both. And I've had to learn how to bring the knowledge right through the crown, through my chakras, and then birth it through the womb, which is a different concept to what, you know, how other people might write books. You know, I'm really just calling on that knowledge. And I think that really comes back to, I think you asked me previously, well, how did I move into this work? Where did this first come from? There is a backstory, but I don't think we've got time to go into that today. I did have a very traumatic childhood, so I was going through a lot of different dark nights of the souls already previous to being 18, right? But when I turned 18, I was going through a dark night of the soul. It was a breakup with my boyfriend. My grandmother called me. Yvonne, her name is, she passed away now. And she said, okay, well, would you like to go overseas? I'll pay for a trip for you to go around Europe and go around the UK. And so I said, yes, I'd love to do that. So within 6 weeks, I was on the plane and heading over and traveling all through Europe. And I also had a journal with me as well. And so by the time I was 18, because I had already had all these dark nights of the souls, I'd really already had a lot of different initiations and my chakras and aura were already open, right? So we're on this trip and it's, of course, very inspiring. And I had no idea why I kept collecting all of these different Bibles, or Bibles were being given to me by other people, right? I don't know why. My backpack started to fill up with all of these different holy mementos, right? I can remember I was in a park in England and we were also going to travel to Rome within the next few days. And so I was sitting there, I was doing my normal writing, and I kept getting these channeled words through. It was Moses. And of course, we know that Moses, well, I'm not sure if you do know, is the father of knowledge, right? And he's a prophet, right? And so he was literally, I was free writing and all of this stuff started coming through. And I was thinking to myself, this is the strangest thing ever. And he continued to tell me who he was and what he wanted me to write. And from then on, Mother Mary came through as well, and I shut my journal, I shut my travel journal, and put it away and didn't tell anybody that continuing on my trip throughout Rome and through other different areas of Europe, they continued to channel through me. And of course, I was 18, I wasn't ready to receive that information. And then from there, that they have always been with me. And it hasn't been until I've been ready now, really, until I've been given the opportunity to write full time. So just to give you some context with that, my daughter and my son both moved into adulthood last year. And that meant for me, you know, some extra freedom with my time and with my energy and just having the gift of being able to just write.
Beautiful. And I can't wait to read the books and for you to birth them and It's been so lovely to talk. I feel like we could go on and on because this is such a big topic and such an important part of our lives. But I feel like we got the essence from the Divine Mother. She came through in this call. And I want to thank you so much for sharing your journey with all of us and for having this conversation.
Thank you, Shireen.